It's not as bad as I thought it would be down here. It's chilly.
When we first walked down here, it wasn't. And then the wind started to blow. And, folks, if you're looking for the indicator today, it's the uprights on the field goal post. But we'll get to that in a few.
Wind is good.
Wind is good.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any rain. I mean, precipitation right now is not an issue. But, you know, New England weather. Let's get to the rivalry. Brady Manning. At the very least, when you talk about the branding, when you talk about the name and the reputation, I don't think there's a bigger rivalry in all of sports, not just football.
I agree with you. Having lived through Magic and Larry, which I loved, didn't get to know Russell and Chamberlain, the idea of two quarterbacks facing each other 16 times, and you look at the statistics that they each have individually and what their teams have done collectively, I don't think there's anything else like it.
The only argument that can be made, and Andy and I touched on this, is Russell and Chamberlain actually played each other physically, but that's the nature of the game.
And there's also the common denominator of Bill Belichick hurting one guy and affecting the other in a positive way. He's the forgotten part of the Brady Manning rivalry in all of this.
Yeah, well,
it'll make a great documentary on the NFL Network when it's all said and done.
It really will, because I guess you could call it 16 matchups of Tom and Peyton's teams playing each other, which I do think drives each of them. I have no doubt. I know Tom loves having somebody who can push him and drive him to get better, knows that they're being compared to, and I've gotten to know Peyton over the last few years, and I know Peyton loves that rivalry too. And in the case of Bill, who actually matches wits with Peyton, I know it drives him. So it's an awesome thing, and it's 16 Bill and Peyton's and 16 Tom and Peyton's teams against each other.
You know, what else, though? But these guys are old. I mean, if you had said when they were 24, would this rivalry be going on right now when they're 38, 37, whatever it is, years old? And so they're not only battling each other.
Hot as ever.
And they're battling the Andrew Lux. They're battling the RG3s. They're battling the young workers, and they're battling Father Tom.
Tom, people forget, and I remember the game clear as day, but Tom's first win as a starter was against Peyton. It was the third game of the 0-1 season.
After the Jets game.
After the Jets game, we were 0-2, and Mark McCormick, who was the founder of IMG, the first real true sports agent, was a great friend of ours. He was with us for the game because his firm represented Peyton. And so he was sitting with us, and he was commenting on Brady the whole game, really blown away that this kid was effectively starting his first game. And he was saying, I've watched a lot of athletes. That young man has a poison composure that belies his youth and his experience. And I think Tom won the game, or we won the game, like, 44-13, we blew him out. And Brian Cox set the tone on defense early, and then Tommy picked him apart. And so it's kind of ironic that Tom's first win, Peyton had been the number one pick the year before, was already making noise right around the league, and Tommy comes out first start and doesn't just beat him, we put it up.
You know, I also think that another underplayed part of this is the fact that while these two guys have kind of become bigger almost than the teams that they play for, the original rivalry was really rooted in Patriots-Colts. And the old, you know, you've talked about it. I know Parcells has his thoughts on it. Bill has talked about it.
Going back to Burt Jones?
Yeah, no, but it was New England-Indianapolis, so there was automatically something there to begin with. And then because you had two great quarterbacks, it kind of elevated to the next level. Because even still, it's not like it used to be when they were in the division, but Patriots-Colts, there's real hatred there. For the fans.
Well, Polian's gone, so it's not as bad as it used to be.
No, but I think that was...
Well, there's no more crowd noise pumped in.
We'll leave it at that.
I'm joking. That was a joke.
It's hard to hate Elway or Pat Bowlen, you know?
No, but I think that added a layer to it, and then it was, oh my God, these are two of maybe the five best ever to play the position.
Actually, the first Monday Night Football game I ever went to was an old Colts-Patriots game in Schaefer Stadium, because they had a quarterback on the Colts, this is in the 70s, named Marty Domrays, who had played at Columbia and was a friend of my father's. And we had dinner with him the night before the game, and he actually drew up the first play that the Colts were going to run that day. Think about that happening in today's day and age.
God,
and he showed us the first play that the Colts were going to run, and we went to the game. And so it's the Colts really do go back a long-term rivalry.
You said you've gotten to know Peyton a little bit. What can you tell us from your perspective that you know about him that adds something to this rivalry for you?
Well, I don't know that it adds to the rivalry in some respect. It almost takes it away, because before I got to know him, you really love to dislike him. And to me, I've gotten to know Peyton through his Manning Passing Academy, where he helps young football players like nobody else does develop. And you watch him in July, just a couple weeks before he has to go to training camp, he and Archie and Eli and his brother Cooper. And Peyton has 1,200 kids down there from all 50 states. And he is out on the field in Louisiana in 110-degree heat and humidity. 100-degree heat and humidity, running around, coaching, helping kids. And then over the course of the couple of years, I've had a chance just to talk to him about the business of the NFL, get to know the family. And he's a smart guy. And when he's down there, he's shared with me what he does, what his workout routine is. And yeah, he and Tommy are what they are, I think, because they both work so hard and are just so passionate about the game. And you watch him give back to the kids who are playing that he doesn't have to do, especially while he's still in the game, and it's amazing. It really is.
Well, you got to get a Papa John's down here at Patriot Place, like Manning. I mean, how many of those places does he own now? You see him in those
27.
Papa John commercials.
We have not talked about his pizza business.
Yeah, okay.
We haven't talked about that, but we've talked about a lot of other stuff, and he loves the NFL. He's a historian, and he's driven by it. He's ageless too.
Well, but the thing about what I find interesting about these two is how they got there. They took different paths. We all knew who Peyton Manning was at Tennessee. We all know who his dad was, Archie. I mean, this kid. I mean, you started reading about him when he was, 14 or 15 years old.
Arguably first family of football in a lot of ways.
Well, sure, and justifiably so. And Brady was the guy that was replaced by Drew Henson.
Well,
you know?
But that's why I said to you the fact, I think it's very ironic that Tom's first win
was against
first
Manning.
Win as
right.
a starter. Well, first win, period, came against Peyton a year after Peyton was drafted. It came against the Colts, but Peyton was the quarterback on the other side of the field. And that's why the NFL, that's why this competition is just, it's
well,
so
that's
great.
That's why Brady's tough. He's faced adversity.
And it's about drive and determination. That's what it's about. And they both have it. They both have it, but people saw the skills in Peyton before they appreciated them in Tom. And I think part of Tom's problem might have been Tom was a great baseball player, and maybe people questioned him, and he wasn't fleet of foot, but Peyton wasn't fleet of foot either. And it's awesome that this has developed like this and we've gotten to see it.
And I do think another thing that needs to be mentioned, in an era where when athletes quote-unquote blow up and they become world famous and they lose their way, both of these guys, there's a little bit of what you were talking about, Jonathan, both still do things the right way, and we've seen them mature into family men, married, children. You've been able to almost grow up with them as they have grown up while they've become famous, you know, sea to sea.
And haven't lost it. You're exactly right. Exactly right.
It's a real testament to both.
Yeah, there's no question. The thing that I want to talk about with Tom is, you know, we're a guy that came in is the sixth-round pick, and he's had to fight for so much. You wonder if, on the other end, if that's the way to go. Because, you know, when Tom became as good a quarterback later on, I mean, Tom wasn't as good as Peyton was in college, right?
He didn't get the reps. He didn't get the reps.
Okay, but don't you think Brady became... Don't you think Brady caught up? Or was it just the opportunity?
I think Tom in college would have been just as good if his coaches had committed to him. His, think about it. He wasn't a starter, and his fellow teammates elected him a captain in college. And that means the teammates saw something. But when you're a head coach in college and you've recruited other guys and made commitments, that you don't want to look stupid and switch it up, even if it means you're going to maybe lose games and your job's on the line. I don't get that. But Tom, with the lack of playing time, came in, was the fourth guy that rookie year. Think about how few reps he was getting in practice his rookie year here. But he paid attention in the classroom, and he would grab receivers and work with them one-on-one after. And I think that competitive fire, that having to work, I think that gave him a leg up. And not that Peyton doesn't burn, but Peyton never had to do what Tom had to do. And you just can't develop that edge if you didn't have it to begin with. It's amazing that Peyton's kept that competitive edge, given how everything wonderful has worked out for him. And he's an awesome guy, which is, I never would have said that before I got to know him.
I see Matt Light in a bathrobe.
Yeah, I do too. I already made eye contact. He's special in that good kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, so we have 22 players from the three championship teams we're going to celebrate here.
All right. Roman Pfeiffer is morphing into 50 Cent. David Patton looks like a college professor. Matt Light looks like a guy lost looking for a pizza. Joe Andruzzi looks like a strength coach.
Stephen Neal over there.
Hey, and Tom Ashworth. There's
Tom Ashworth.
One of the many
like
revolving
you.
Doors of right tackles. What, old and gray?
But here's the thing. No, just big. Big and slow.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
But we got 22 guys. Well, we have 17 men here today. Out of 22 who own three Super Bowl rings. And Robert was making the point the other night. You think about the turnover in the league each year, 2,000 players in the league, and 53 guys are going to win one ring each year, and then these teams get broken up and moved around.
Right.
To have 22 guys who each have three Super Bowl rings is pretty special. And the other five guys would be here, but they're all coaching or playing. Brady and Vinatieri are still playing, obviously.
Vrabel's in Houston.
Izzo is with the Giants. And this is the mystery one. Do you guys know the other one who's coaching?
I can't think.
He was an O-lineman.
Not Copen.
No, not Copen.
Adrian Clem.
He's at UCLA.
Coaching the O-line
at
UCLA. So.
Jonathan, a pleasure. Enjoy the day.
Hey, thanks, guys. One quick. You didn't ask me about the Revs, but the Revs won their first playoff game last night. They dominated. We're here next Sunday. It's a Patriot bye week. Come see Lee Wynn, Jermaine Jones, and the whole team.
The Revs are back, people.